I'm Elizabeth Reese.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
And this is Best to the Nest, the podcast that is all about creating happy, healthy, beautiful homes that prepare us to fly. And Marjorie, today we're going to talk a little bit about one of your favorite topics.
Yes!
Fashion, clothing.
Yes, clothing.
How they can either make or break your day. Isn't that the truth? So we have a really fun guest today and a really fun theme. And so I'm calling it the heart of fashion. And I know, Marjorie, that you are going to fall in love with the woman that we're talking to today, just like I have. So our guest today is Megan Tamte, and she is the co-founder and co-CEO of Ever Eve. If this is a clothing store that you're not familiar with, you got to get with the program, my friend. So they're based here in the Twin Cities. They're closing in on 100 locations across the country. I don't know. They might have even passed it, because every time I turn around, they're opening a new store and I can't keep track. So Marjorie, Megan is a former teacher, and she started her company with one store after a pivotal moment. She was in a dressing room and in a store and had a real lonely and overwhelming shopping experience when she was a new mom. So after that, Ever Eve was born and it's booming. But what I love about this is that Ever Eve is not just about the clothes. It's about expecting fashion and experiencing joy. And they begin and end just about every interaction with the phrase, with heart.
Oh.
Marjorie, you see it when you walk in. I mean, it's in tile in their locations on the floor when you walk in. That's how the emails are signed. It's really wonderful. But as much passion as Megan has for her business, she has an even greater commitment to her home and the family that she is raised there. So we're kind of going to answer this question today. How do you bring your best to the nest when you have a company to run? Can feel a little overwhelming on some days. And Megan is here to share her roadmap. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Oh,
good morning.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. I just love hearing your voice. And Megan and I have gotten to work together on all sorts of different things. Ever Eve has become sort of my second closet, because I go there to get clothes for Twin Cities Live, and
oh,
I go and see
so
the
fun.
Girls once a week. And it has really changed how I look at shopping and clothes, because it's always been something that's been a struggle for me. It's always been something that's been like, oh, I have to figure out what to wear on TV. And it's been my least favorite part of the job. And Megan, your stores are about an experience. And that's something that's so intentional with you.
Yes. Absolutely. It is about an experience we actually call our experience heart, a heart experience.
So tell people who have never been there what that means and why it's a different experience than just walking into a department store.
It's a different experience because we're very clear with the women that work at Ever Eve that we want to hire women that love fashion, that are just radical about fashion, but love people more. It starts with really caring about the women that walk through our doors and choosing to make the experience more than just like a sales experience, but making it an experience from the heart.
So does that mean that so if somebody comes in that you're actually going to help them, you're going to style with them, or you're going to...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, we're going to get to know them. So we're going to, when someone comes into an Ever Eve store, our stylists are going to want to talk to them, get to know who they are, to see them for who they are, because the more information, the more we know our customers, the more we can use that information to guide them to product that is right for them. At the end of the day, that's our stylist's goal, is to
right.
make these women feel like the best version of themselves. And in order to do that job, the stylist have to have a relationship with the customer. They have to know her, know who she is, not just the customer, but know her as a woman, so we can do our job.
Feels like an extension of your closet, where you're going in and then you're with friends and you're kind of figuring things out. And it does then, I think, you bring that heart home, because when
Absolutely.
You bring items, and you talk about this, Megan, I mean, fashion is fashion and clothes and it's trends and whatever, but it is bigger than that, because when you bring items home that work for you, that you feel good in, that fit you well, then when you go to your closet to pick something to wear, it's an effortless experience. And I think that has a huge impact on your life. I mean, I know for me, being on television, it's a different day than most people, but it's the same fundamentals. You want to feel good about what you're wearing and how you look, and you don't want to think too much about it. You just want to do it and go for it. And I will have better shows than other shows if I feel good in what I'm wearing versus what I'm not wearing. That's just the truth.
Fashion is important. It is worth the time. I think it takes 30 minutes in the dressing room of playtime to find a couple cute outfits.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes, I just think sometimes in our minds, we need to, like, commit 30 minutes of playtime in a dressing room and say, okay, I'm just gonna take the time. And also, I think women need to realize it's going to be a workout. Like,
yeah.
You can count that if you need to save time, just, like, count that as your workout for the day. Be like, I'm not going to go to the gym. I'm going to EverEve for 30 minutes, because finding the right outfit, it is, I think sometimes women don't understand. It takes trial and error.
Yes.
It does. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're petite or curvy. For women, for everybody, it is a game of trial and error. I mean, sometimes you might feel like, oh, I have this outfit on. It doesn't quite feel like me, so I need to try it with a different top. I like these pants, but I want to wear it with a different top so I feel like me. Or some women, if you know what, this doesn't fit. This is too big. Or I can't find this because it fits my body type. At the end of the day, I don't care who you are. Finding a great outfit does require hard work.
Yeah, it totally
does.
Well, you're making me feel a lot better about being winded in dressing rooms often, Megan.
I mean, if you want an outfit that brings you joy, you are going to have to commit to a little bit of work, a little bit of workout.
here's what I love what you just said, because this is a longstanding belief, and Elizabeth knows this about me, that going and looking and trying on beautiful clothes is playtime.
I think the idea of going in, like, I'm just going to play here and experiment and bring my friends or my girlfriend or my mom. I mean, those are really great ways to help get that amazing outfit that you want.
Right? And what I love too is the idea of a curated experience, because I think
I think
what a lot of us leave behind, or I'll just say for myself, is I'll find a great dress and then I sort of stop there. And
yes. So
then I get home and I have that great dress, but I didn't think about what shoes, and I didn't think about a necklace,
I didn't think
about it from beginning to end. So that dress will sit in my closet and it's there,
totally.
But it's not like really ready to go. And I think this idea of going, being able to go into, because I don't think department stores do this anymore. I really don't.
Right.
You can't go into a department store and expect to get a lot of great attention. There just aren't enough people on the floor anymore.
Well, it's true. And that's the thing about when you go into EverEve, which I think sets it apart from any other retail experience, is that you end up with a community. I mean, and I'm not the only one. I walk in there and I know all the girls, but that happens to everybody. I see other customers walking in and they know the girls that are working there too. And
that's so cool.
And there's that.
And again, fashion is supposed to be so much fun. So I love that. Because we know what brings joy. What brings real joy is connecting with other people, right? And so I love that idea that, coming into an EverEve store, we're going to talk to you, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get to know you.
It's absolutely true. So, Megan, I want to back up a little bit from the time now where EverEve is super successful. You had your two babies. Your little babies flew the coop. They left the nest within the last couple of years.
Yes.
And you're sort of redefining what your life looks like now, I think, particularly outside of work. But when you were raising your kids and raising your business, I think this is so fascinating. You came up with this concept that there were going to be three areas in life that you were focusing on. And if tasks or activities or time commitments or basically things to put your energy towards didn't fit into those buckets, it wasn't getting done.
Yep.
Can you talk about that intentional decision and how that was so freeing for you?
I remember starting this business. It took me 2 years of thinking time to finally commit to doing this, because the thing that I worried most about was my children. I think, you know, like, oh, if I follow my dream, is it going to hurt my children?
Yeah.
And is it going to harm them? And I think those are really real questions. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'm so proud of myself and so grateful that I made the decision to go for it, because I think in the end, that is the best gift that I can give to my children, especially now that they're out of the house. You know, my daughter, it's cute. My daughter just chased a dream of hers and she did it. Like, she had a dream and she went for it. And I'm like so proud, because I'm like, I think I showed her how to do
that.
Yep,
for sure you did.
So,
you modeled it, yeah.
At the same time, I think we need to listen to those feelings of concern, right? Like, I think we need to listen to, like, why am I scared about this?
Yeah.
I think those are very real feelings we need to listen to. And so I think something that really helped me, I mean, I was really the conversations we had in our home, Mike and I, were, okay, if we do this, we are not going to sacrifice being good parent, like a healthy home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go start this business that at the time was about serving moms and like not feel like a healthy, happy.
Yeah.
Like, that would sort of defeat the purpose, right?
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we were very intentional and talked a lot about that before. Like, what are we going to do? And one of the things we decided to do was to get very clear on our top priorities for that time in our life. And so because we knew we wanted to start a business, like this business piece with, you know, we had investors, like we have employees, like we're committed to, like, we have to build a strong business. We're gonna be there for our family. And we can talk more about what that looks like in a minute. My kids, my family is going to be a priority. And then for us, our faith is very important. So that's something we're going to nurture as well. Mm-hmm. And really, like, those three areas, we just were, I think, in the busiest time in our life when we were starting a business with young kids, we just said we had this filter and we were like, no, 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 no. If anything didn't fit under those three priorities.
That's really smart.
For many, many, many years we operated like that.
Well, and some of that, Megan, comes along with you, this concept of soul time that you instituted into your life. And I always give Megan a hard time because it starts so early and I'm thinking, how in the world can you get up this early? But she starts her day very, very early with some really intentional time. And I've been thinking a lot about my mornings and how I want my mornings to look different from how they currently look. Because right now my mornings feel like I'm getting up to start to chase the day, and I don't like that feeling. So what is so important about your soul time in the morning and what's happening there?
Yeah. Well, what I realized about 7-8 years ago, as this company was growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and the kids were teenagers, is I needed to invest more energy and time into what I would say soul work. So I didn't want to lose my soul. Like, all these people, like, I think if I show up for my kids as a whole person, if I show up at Ever Eve as a whole person, and happy and not stressed out, that goes really far. So I actually got to this point 8 years ago where my number one job as a CEO, my number one job as a mom, is to show up whole. And part of, I think, whole for me is nurturing my more spiritual side.
Yeah.
And that's really important. And so I did make a decision that I was a little nervous about, because for me, I have found I'm morning quiet time, like I'm more of introverted, like I'm very reflective. So I felt like my life had gotten so spiraled out of control, just a lot of demands on me, that I just needed to commit to, like, some quiet time to work on my, like, to work on my soul. So whether it was like reading some spiritual work or writing, you know, I write prayers down, just spending time nurturing my spirit. And I remember I made this decision when the kids were like in junior high and high school, and I struggled in this, like, with thinking that I needed to pop up and make this, like, perfect breakfast for these kids. You know, how selfish of me to sit in this room and say, don't talk to me, mom's doing full time. And so, I mean, but I, in my mind, I felt like at the end of the day, these kids should be able to make their own breakfast.
Absolutely.
I had a parent educator tell me once, and I love this. I loved ECFE and here in Minnesota, like these parent educator classes, they were so valuable to me. But this one parent educator said, your kid, if they can do it, they should do it.
Yes.
Right? I was like, oh, that's interesting. An eighth grader and a sophomore in high schooler should be able to make their breakfast.
That's very true. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It sounds silly, but it really is. I mean, I think that is so important for a lot of moms to hear, Megan, because we are enabling our children by not teaching them to fry an egg.
Trust me, if he wants a scrambled egg, that kid can get himself a scrambled egg. And if he ends up hungry at school, that feeling's not good. So he's going to, if he's smart, like, and I know he's smart, he's going to figure out, I don't want that feeling at school, so maybe I need to make an egg for myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I trust my kids enough to know.
They're going to survive.
Yeah.
They're
going to survive. We're none of us. And anyway, I do love, there's nothing more fun on those days when I do make a, you know, when I did make a great meal, because I love that too. But I think for me at that time, it was like, what's more important here? And I decided it is more important that these kids have a mom that is whole and is feeling strong and healthy than a mom that's stressed out making the perfect. Again, I go back to like, well, don't moms just make perfect meals? Like, isn't that the job of a mom to like deliver breakfast for their kids? The bigger the better, you know? And so it's interesting because I made that decision and the kids were raised in the morning, and they will tell you this because they now will loudly broadcast to everybody what kind of mom you are. And they will say, you were, that was your sacred time. That was, we saw you praying. We saw you in that reading. We saw you just working on yourself. And what's really cool about that is my daughter, who is now 22, she's experienced some life adversities, and you know, she went to college and she was super homesick, and she leaned into what got her through some of her hard times alone, away from the nest, right?
Yeah.
Was, oh my gosh, I saw my mom nurture her soul. Maybe now, maybe I need to do that. And so she really does a great job in her own way of nurturing her soul. And I think as parents, that's part of our job, is to work on the spiritual soul development of our children. I mean, that's necessary for a whole child and for a whole, you know, an adult. So I just feel so grateful that I made that choice, because I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing how that influenced her in her life and helped her get out of that she found herself there.
Yeah.
So. And that's always the thing I say to Elizabeth. What's so interesting, you know, her children are small right now, but for us, where the kids are out in the world, it is an interesting thing to watch and to see what you modeled, good or bad, living in the world, because they pick it up.
Right.
They pick up, and what
they
she picked up from you was a really beautiful idea of how to nurture yourself, but how to problem solve, how to cope, all of those things. And then the flip side of that is, I think that idea, and this goes away from soul time, the blessing of you doing that for yourself are the tools that you gave your kids to take care of themselves. And Elizabeth knows this a little bit about me, but when my kids were probably in fifth and seventh grade, I think, maybe a little bit younger than that, I started doing the radio show with my husband in the morning, which meant I was on the air from 5 until 9 in the morning. Well, every mother knows that's like the key chaos time. You're trying to get your kids off to school. And it doesn't, you know, for a lot of moms, it doesn't get easier when they're in middle school. Sometimes it gets harder because they're harder to get out of bed and they might be a little bit more willful. But in our family, mom was on the radio at home. My studio was at home. Dad was on the radio in the studio at the radio station. We couldn't do anything for them. They had to do everything for themselves. Okay. Early on, it was like, guys, get up out of bed or don't get up out of bed. But you got to get to school. You got to get your lunches made. You got to do it all.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, that was such a great thing for them in learning self-sufficiency and feeling really good about themselves.
It's good for them to have to deal with a little bit of adversity and have to figure things out and to know that we trust them, that they can figure that out. That's very empowering to them.
Well, I think it's super empowering. And I think when you are setting a home up where there is that safety and that sanctuary and that mutual respect, then you have that confidence to take on some more of those tasks. And I know, Megan, the idea of stress at home is something that you've been really intentional about too.
Yes.
And that, I mean, I'm really convinced that you can't have a happy nest if you're stressed. And I just made up that really great rhyme right there. And I don't know how it happened, but
yeah, I love it.
I did.
You're so gifted.
I would have migraines. You know what I mean? Like, there were points where it was like, I'd have migraines. So I just tried, especially when the kids were little, to eliminate whatever was causing me stress. One of the things I weighed out was volunteering at the kids' school for, like, field trips. When I would do that, it would push me over the edge.
When you talk about the company culture at EverEve, I mean, because you have, I mean, it's got to be 90% women working there, right? I mean, you have a huge proportion.
Yeah, like 99.5.
Then it's all the women, and then it's Megan's husband, Mike, and he's just he's just like playing a game of Frogger in that place, just figuring out where is he going to go. But I wonder how you help to institute that in a workplace where you have to get stuff done. I mean, everybody has their role and has things to get done. But at the same time, I mean, I think more than ever, what women want out of the workplace is flexibility and some freedom. So how are you making that work in a corporate setting? And then for the rest of us who are managing work, how can we advocate for that in our own lives?
I feel that it's really, I mean, for us, and again, we have two worlds. We have the retail world and we have our home office here. I think it's a lot, honestly, a lot of times it's just about the leaders and what the leaders prioritize. And I mean, we have, Mike and I have the luxury, we have always prioritized our family. We had dinner with our kids. We built a $150 million business with young kids, and we never missed dinner at night.
Wow. There you go.
Never. Yeah.
There you go.
And we the dinners were not perfect. Sometimes they were picked up, sometimes, but we never, and I, again, our kids will, when people ask, because they're old enough where people ask, they actually will tell you it felt so good to have dinner every night as a family. And I felt like that was a priority we made that really grounded us. So no matter how crazy the days were, we are home every night, 6 o'clock, the whole family's gathering around the table. And so I think that the spirit of that does kind of radiate and throughout this company. So I think we hire people that value their families, that want a great career, are going to go to work and then value that family time. So I think just kind of modeling that, I think, is powerful. I'm a huge fan. So, you know, I think not our retail stores, but our home office, people do clear out. We're not here crazy hours because Mike and I leave. And it's the funny thing, Mike, this is just a side note. After the kids were gone, Mike and I were like, well, what do we do with the dinner thing? Decided to still do it, which I think is adorable. Yep. Like, well, we could each go our own way. And we made it a conscious decision and thought, well, that probably isn't, if you and me, the rest of the next 40 years, yep, maybe we should have dinner together. You know, and it's not every night. It's not like we can't miss a night having dinner. But I think the mindset is sort of like, yeah, we do dinners tonight. Versus, like, I could so easily see it have, like, unless we made that intentional decision and talked about it, I think it could have easily turned into, like, I'm going to the gym, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you're doing this, you do that. And I could see it easily moving the other way.
Yeah.
So I just think that was a fun conversation. However, I was going to say, the other thing I'm a huge believer in is just recognizing that there are different seasons in our kids' lives where if women need to take a step back and or men need to take a step back, like, I'm super open as an employer to conversations about, do you need to work 80%? Do you need to bring back down to 60?
Oh.
Do you need to go 20? Do you need to go 100? I'm so open to those conversations. And we have many women and men. I would say, I'm not saying not men because we have many.
Right.
All women. Like, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be sexist and say men don't feel
that's
like
just your company's experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Is that we've had many people really kind of navigate that. Like, I'm 80% now because this is going on and it's a little hard. And then now I'm 100. And I love those conversations because for me, it is a journey of kind of adjusting to your own life and what's going on in your family. And
that's,
so I do like those conversations.
That's amazing.
So,
that's amazing. Yeah. And I would say, Megan, that your employees, the kind of loyalty that would breed, I mean, is has to be good for the bottom line. And I think that's what I would love other companies to see, that when you give women and men that flexibility to be a balanced whole person, to raise their families, to take care of their elderly parents, to do the things that they need to do in life, they will give even more to a company.
Yeah.
I believe that in my heart. I really do. Mm-hmm. That's extraordinary.
Yeah. And I think we just care. So I think that goes a long way in terms of just how people navigate that within our company.
Well, and then when we bring it back to being your best at your nest, I mean, all that's doing is taking the values that you've instituted in your home, in your nest, and then you have the opportunity to impact the nests of everybody who works for you, because that is so true. I mean, our work is so integral to our happiness at home. I mean, it is very hard to have, I always say that I think it's harder to recover from a tough day at home than it is to recover from a tough day at work.
Yeah.
That being said, it is still very difficult to not bring a tough day at work into your home. And when you're feeling so stretched, or you're feeling not valued, or you're feeling like you're having to compromise life at home in order to accomplish what you need to accomplish at work, it's just not, it's not sustainable.
Right.
And I don't think you're going to get the best out of people. And I just love that you are integrating that into
it's
everything.
Huge.
And it shows. I mean, it shows when you go in the stores.
Yeah. I do feel, think a lot about the greatest contribution that I can make, you know, as a leader, as a community member, as a person that cares about the world. And so a lot of time as a mom, you know, I think about my role and what, where do I want to make impact? Where do I want to have influence? And of course, I'm always thinking different things and different ideas. And one of the things that I keep coming back to all the time, because I lead a company and I'm a CEO, is I want to do, and it's what I'm passionate about, I want to do whatever I can to help work be joyful.
Yeah. Mm.
Because all of us have to work. Like, work is a part of our life. Work doesn't go away. Work is such a part of the human experience. I believe it's good.
Yes.
Like, I believe, like, we are born to, like, work. Like, you know?
And to have a purpose.
So I just and have a purpose. And I just spend a lot of time thinking, how can I make work joyful for the people that come to work at EverEve and commit at least 8 hours a day to this company? How can I make their time here joyful so they can go home and be the best for their family? Right.
That's so amazing. So that's so great.
That's what I think a lot about. That's probably what I think most about is how to, and a lot of it is how we treat each other. It's our culture. I call it, you know, our HEART culture, and HEART is an acronym for our values of humility and empathy and authenticity and relationship and tenacity. So I think about if we are treating each other with these values here, I feel like work is joyful when we treat each other with humility.
It's so
good,
Megan.
When we treat each other with empathy.
You're so good.
That's really where I spend a lot of my time thinking. That gets me excited. It doesn't mean like, oh, I'm going to like have all this flexible job, you know, because the reality is we're running a business.
Yeah,
And it, for years I struggled wanting to be everything to everybody, you know, like, oh gosh, we've got to have this and this and this. But we're running a profitable business that's growing. And so I just feel like if I can make those 8 hours joyful and the culture and how people treat each other a great culture, that's the best gift that I can give. So that's what I speak a lot about.
And I would say that that's probably one of the major reasons your company's growing,
honestly, because
it starts with people. It starts with how your shops make people feel, and your employees have to feel good about being there in order to make other people feel good about being there. So that, I think, is really exciting.
And it all comes back to that original idea of what brings joy is connection that you said, you know, at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
And so if you can integrate that into all areas of your life, it's so important. Megan, you're a joy. I love spending time with you. Getting to know you has just been such a wonderful experience.
Our dinner,
girl. Yeah, because now you have dinner with you and Mike, and then we will
have to say no to me.
I will not. I will text you with dinner dates today. Don't you? When I'm on my date with my husband tonight, I'll text you dinner dates.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
Okay, Megan, go on with your day, girl. And we just we love you and appreciate your time.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Megan. Marjorie, she's one of those people that, it's like when I met you, I just had that connection right away where I felt, okay, this is someone that I want to be around and that there are things about her that I want to emulate. And I just feel the more you find those women and you listen to what you call the still small voice.
Yep.
When you listen to the still small voice that says, oh, wait a second. Oh, wait a second. I'm like, I have an attraction to her. I want to be in her realm.
Yep.
That reaching out is so important. And, you know, and then making those friendships where it doesn't have to be that that person is your new best friend and you hang out with them every day, but it's just having them in your village.
It's so important. And what's so interesting about Megan is that idea of what she's doing for other women. And the more that you support her or anybody supports her, that kind of work model, that kind of CEO that's saying your whole life is important to my company, that's going to change the world for lots of women.
Yeah.
And to work for a company that understands the complexity of what it means to have a happy life, to have a good life, you having a good life at work means your kids are going to be happier too. And that's a pretty powerful thing. So I love spreading her message. That's really, really wonderful.
I do too. So fun.
If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast and share it with a friend. If you have a moment, please give us a review at Apple Podcasts. Thanks to IGR58. She says, I so enjoy listening to the show. I'm a grandma in my 60s, but such good information for me to think about too, along with my daughter, a mother of a four-year-old and a newborn. I recommend your show to her. I know she'll love it. Thanks for the insight, the friendship I feel, and the laughs.
Oh, we love you. Thank you for listening. Please reach out to us. You can find both of us on Instagram at Best to the Nest or at Eliz Reese and at It's Me Marjorie1. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And Marjorie, we have a brand new Facebook group, a Best to the Nest group. Did you know that?
We do.
We do.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I'll tell you all about it. You can just go to the Best of the Nest group, search for it, request to be a member. I will approve you, and you're in on the fun. That applies to you, Marjorie, and everyone who's listening.
Maybe I should be part of that group.
Have a great day,
awesome.
Everybody.
Bye.